today and moving on as we give you a few more picks for quarantine days. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, Dee as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
Hello.
So here we are again. It's beginning of May, and we are remaining under lock and key, lockdown, whatever the correct term is, but we're all trying to battle the spread of COVID-19 by doing the socially responsible thing and staying at home. So I hope that those of you listening to this are doing the same. It's important we do this to flatten the curve. Movie theaters aren't open anyway, so we thought we would do another one of these streaming picks podcasts. We've had feedback from listeners that this is a handy service, and we enjoy talking about what we've been watching. So here we are again. I think we're still sticking with the same tried and trusted services. I haven't dipped into Disney Plus and much into Apple TV yet. Have you, Yazdi?
I have not. No. I mean, I was thinking I would sign up for Hulu because I wanted to watch Little Fires Everywhere and The Handmaid's Tale, but I have so much already on Prime and Netflix that I have had no reason to. So
yeah, no, it's you know, I think at some point we will just experiment.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, we have a subscription to Apple TV Plus because I bought an iPhone this past year and they threw in 12 months of Apple TV Plus. They've just released, I think, a Beastie Boys documentary. So, you know, there's some stuff there that is new. And I keep hearing wonderful things about The Mandalorian, and you know, I won't say I'm a Star Wars expert, but I do enjoy me some Star Wars universe type stuff. So, and Rashmi, Taika Waititi was I think Yazdi, you sent the email to both of us about Taika Waititi getting a Star Wars movie to direct, which is always exciting news. And he did write and direct, I think, an episode of The Mandalorian, which has
been
really well received. So it's kind of an excuse to drop $5 or $10 or whatever it is 1 month for Disney Plus.
I love Taika Waititi, and in fact, I had been DVRing What We Do in the Shadows, which I've talked many times about on the show. It's currently in its second season on FX, and it's so fun, and I saved up like 5 episodes so I could sit down and watch them together, and I kept doing that really annoying thing where, you know, you tell the person next to you, who happens to be Joe, like, oh, you have to watch this bit, you have to watch this bit, even though he's totally not interested, has no, you know, interest in watching this. But I had to keep like rewinding scenes and making him watch bits, especially because one of the characters is like Joe's mother. And I mean that in a really good way, but one of the vampires is just like Joe's mom. And so any bit even more, because, you know, she's adorable. And this woman, I keep making Joe watch her.
You've gone and done
and
it
say,
now.
Isn't she?
You've I said know, it on Joe. The internet.
I know, she, come on, you have to admit.
No, I'm not going to say anything like that.
But it's a really cool, it's the female vampire in the series called Nadja, and she's hilarious, like absolutely hilarious. So if you want to know what Joe's mother was like growing up, obviously, she's not the vampire and doesn't kill people for food. But
good thing you clarified.
Maybe metaphorically, right, Joe?
No comment. This is going out, and as unlikely as this is to get back to her, I don't want to incur.
Don't take no chances, Joe.
I'm giving her kudos. So,
yes, no.
I'm giving her kudos.
She's very cool, and so really, you're right. The character has some uncommonly close traits to said person.
Okay, so.
But yeah, so why don't we just go right into things? So, you know, Rashmi and Yasli, I know you've been busy away scribbling up lists of things that you've been watching. I've been a bit less diligent, but kind of watch along with Rashmi. I've been otherwise distracted during quarantine days. I'm doing very geeky things like learning to program and...
Just quarantine, Joe?
But I was determined that with some of this downtime, I might try and do something good for my brain. So I've been taking a programming course and it's been fun. But I know that's not how you get your kicks.
Like as if Joe wasn't nerdy enough, no offense to all those amazing programmers out there. He wants to learn programming or enhance his programming skills. So well, anyway, Yasli, what have you been watching?
So. I listen to a lot of NPR podcasts, and I was listening to Fresh Air, and Mindy Kaling was being interviewed on Fresh Air for her recently scripted and partly directed new venture on Netflix, which is based on her experience as an Asian American girl growing up in middle America and being a nerd. And it's mainly through the high school years. The girl in question is a sophomore girl. And the more I listened to her interview, the more I wanted to watch the show. And I think if I had not listened to the interview, I probably wouldn't have been as appreciative of the show itself. Is the fact that, you know, she mentions that you seldom see like irritable characters leading a show. Or worse yet, an irritable person of color is almost always played for laughs or played for somebody who is very annoying. But she wanted to play the main character to be somebody who is irritable, who has a tantrum, will not take people for fools, is pretty assertive, and yet is somehow very, very needy of acceptance in the world by virtue of the fact that she's so different, coming from a very, very traditional Indian background. And so, I've seen the first five episodes, I believe, her new show, Never Have I Ever, which is playing right now on Netflix. And it's not War and Peace. It's not something, you know, it's not going to change your life, but I think it may just change how the world at large sees Asian American characters, especially Indian American characters. And it really mainstreams them. I like that. Her two best friends are also children of kids of color. There's a Chinese woman and then an African American girl. Sorry, not woman, girl. So I like what it's doing in its own way. It's almost playing by. At one point, I was thinking, oh my God, this is her version of Clueless. You know, the way it's playing out with the whole romantic entanglements. But it's very sweet. It's well done. It's got a sharp, sharp script. And it's a great way to spend a little bit of time on Netflix. Never Have I Ever.
Yes. Yep. Congratulations, Mindy Kaling, and everyone behind this amazing, fun, easy to watch series. We literally got the recommendation from, of all people, my niece, who doesn't generally watch a lot of TV. Mm. She's in Joe's camp of life. But she basically, during one of our daily calls, told me about Never Have I Ever. And she said to me, it's a little bit like a UK program we used to get when we were young called Grange Hill, which was about a school. So I think it's much more like Girl Meets World, the Disney reboot of Boy Meets World that came up a few years ago. But this is really cute. I agree with you, Yasli. It's not War and Peace. It's not life-changing. But boy, did it make me laugh, and it made me laugh hard. And I think she captured the immigrant experience so perfectly, or the experience of being a first or second generation immigrant in any country. And it caught it so well. It caught the good and the bad. Brilliant. I love this show. It just really made me laugh.
Yeah, I didn't watch this as intently as you, Rashmi, but I did watch it alongside you for many an evening. And I think the thing that strikes me about the tone of this movie is that it's not necessarily about being Indian in the sense of in as much as it's about being a teenager that happens to be Indian. So, you know, there's no gimmickry around the Asian, Indian American experience. It's more a case of that just happens to be the background for, you know, it's what the character is, but it's not about that. Although there are many elements of that, you know, that society that creep into the scenario. So, yeah, it's great. I think it's, very funny. The lead, what's her name?
Maitreya Srinivasan,
she's so talented and charming, and she to some extent feels like she's, you know, very much like an Aziz Ansari in terms of her delivery of the comedic timing, but she really does nail it. And Amanda Bynes, before she went off the rails, what was the Amanda Bynes show that she used to do on?
It was called the Amanda Bynes Show, right?
No, the one that she did with Kelly Taylor from 90210. Why can't I remember her?
I know, I'm sorry.
Real
but anyway,
yeah.
Oh my word, we are such terrible podcasters here. We never remember anything.
we are just getting old.
I know it'll come. It'll come to me like after we stop recording, and I'll say, "Oh, what?"
But I'm gonna find it right now.
It was a terrific little, you know, Disney sitcom. But she reminded me of that kind of talent, because again, Amanda Bynes, before she went all nutty like these child stars tend to do, was really funny. It was like a Beatles song.
All About You or something.
What I Like About You.
What I like about you.
So anyway.
That was it.
So, Never Have I Ever.
Oh, the Netflix? Yep, Never Have I Ever. Really, really worth your time. Yassi, have you got any others you wanted to mention?
I do. I think right before the whole virus thing settled in late January, you know, at the AMC cinemas in Mission Valley here, there was an Indian movie released called Thappad, which literally means the slap. I remember mentioning it to the two of you as well. It got a bit of press, and there is one particular Indian reviewer who is probably the only Indian movie reviewer that I'd read, because he just writes like a dream. But he very, very highly recommended this movie. So I went and saw it in the theater, and I was really surprised at how urban the movie is, and how I think it's a social issue movie. There's no question about it. But I think the social issue movies which have been coming out more recently have been very fervent and too on the nose and too militant. Not that there's anything wrong with being any of these things. This one almost is like a Rorschach test, you know, of somebody's opinions about a woman's role and a man's role. And to the movie's great credit, you know, it speaks of a very, very affluent, very well-to-do couple in modern-day India, both of them doing exceptionally well. And through a series of events, one evening, the husband and wife are extremely happy together. The husband dotes on the wife loves him. And through a series of events, one day at a party, which is organized, you know, to celebrate his promotion, he gets really enraged at his wife and he slaps her in front of everyone. And that single event essentially leads to her walking out of everything. And you know, she's begged by her parents, like, is he a bad man? Does he have an affair? You know, has he ever physically even harmed you before? Anything? And the answer is no, none of those things. But for her, she was almost in some kind of a spell. She was sleeping through it, and this kind of slap kind of really brings her to the fore. It does get a little bit weepy towards the end, but brilliantly acted, very controlled. There's almost no screaming and shouting, and it really lays bare India's still existing misogyny. You know, in 2020, in the highest echelons of the richest, the most affluent, you know, families in India, there is still a very strong sense of, well, a girl does this and a boy and a man does this. So, excellent film. The film is right now streaming. It just came on Amazon Prime. Really well worth your time. The lead actress, Tapsi Pannu, is just marvelous in it. So, I would recommend that. Thappad, T-H-A PPAD, Thappad, which means laugh. Definitely watch it.
I
have a couple
have
more, but go on, Roshan.
On our list, yeah. I was going to mention another one, which is season two of Afterlife with Ricky Gervais. We chowed our way through that one very quickly, so quickly, in fact, I want to go back and watch it again. It's not disappointing. It's a great follow-on from season one. This is Ricky Gervais in a rather serious role, more dramedy than a outright comedy, but very, very funny and enjoyable. And I know, Joe, you watched this with me.
I did, yeah. It was. It's very, very British. So, you know, my only reservation, hesitation in recommending that to everyone is that it's quite colloquially British, but it's full of that Ricky Gervais humor where he takes things that really shouldn't have a humorous angle to them, and he plays it for laughs. And it's not done in a cheap way. It's done in order almost to kind of explore your response to something. You know, the basic premise of Afterlife is a man's wife died of cancer, and yet he turns that whole premise into a comedy series. And it's not done in a tacky or unfeeling manner. It's just you know, an exploration of really, you know, how somebody might deal with something like that in terms of their outlook on life and the world. So I really enjoy that kind of you know, slant on things that Ricky Gervais has. But it's darkly comical. A great choice. What you got next?
Yes, you got any others?
Yeah, I do. So the one I want to recommend is the movie which actually won the prize for the best narrative feature at the 2020 Tribeca Film Festival. And that one is The Half of It. It won the best feature and it almost immediately has appeared on Netflix. I have not seen it, but I've heard great things about it. And it again plays on that, you know, that Roxanne Cyrano de Bergerac story about a geeky guy who enlists his equally geeky girl to help him woo the unattainable girl, little realizing that he actually likes the other girl, all this stuff. But only I think the flip on this is actually the geeky girl that he recruits to help him woo the popular girl. It turns out that the geeky girl is also in love with that popular girl. So it's a twist on that whole story. And it's supposed to be very well written. I do intend to catch it sooner than later, but because only in our last episode we were talking about the recently announced winners of the Tribeca Film Festival 2020, the virtual version or the online version, I did want to mention that that one's on Netflix now. And then the only other thing I want to mention is there was a movie that I saw for sure at the 2019 Tribeca Film Festival. I think, Joe or Rashmi, you might have seen it as well. It's a movie called Clementine. And
I remember you telling us about it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's such an incredibly atmospheric movie. There's a feeling of dread, of something bad that's lurking just around the corner. And it's about a girl who has just broken up from someone and realizes that she needs to get away from life. So she actually literally physically breaks into the home of her ex-lover, knowing that they're not there. And she starts spending time over there and kind of gets unhealthily obsessed with everything in that home. And then that home is kind of isolated in the middle of nowhere. And then she starts interacting with a few other people living there. And then who's real, who's not, who, what is everybody's intentions? It's a very well-made movie, unlike almost anything I've seen. The reason why I bring up Clementine is Clementine just showed up for release, and ordinarily it would have shown up at the Digital Gem cinemas, but because the Digital Gem, obviously all the cinemas are closed right now, it's available for $12.99 rental through the Digital Gem. So for those in San Diego, if you just go to the Digital Gem's website and click on, you know, their recently released movies, you can watch Clementine through there. It's really very good, challenging, unexpected, unpredictable film.
And then just to wind up Netflix, remember the film Becoming, Michelle Obama's movie, mm-hmm. is out.
Correct.
I have a couple of things that are coming to Netflix later in May. So these are kind of, you know, don't miss type things if you haven't seen them. One is the movie from, fairly early on in movie world, as the movie District 9 by Neil Blomkamp. Mm-hmm. It comes to Netflix fairly regularly, so it's not entirely a new release, but it's not been there for a while. And this is one of my favorite sci-fi movies of the, you know, the post-2000 era. It's a spectacular documentary-style movie which kind of uses alien invasion as an allegory for apartheid South Africa. I'll kind of leave it there. It goes a little bit bonkers towards the end. But in terms of the concept and execution, especially the early part of the movie where we explore, you know, what it would be like to have aliens living among us, you know, it's just terrifically clever fun. The other one that's coming up, and I won't really talk too much about it, but if you haven't seen it, it got lost in the wash a few years ago, around 2015, with the end of year shuffle and Oscars. It is the movie Trumbo, which stars Bryan Cranston. A really powerfully acted movie, and I really feel that he kind of lost out on potential Oscar gold with that one. He was just so remarkable in terms of how he played that the character Dalton Trumbo. And it's a controversial movie in many ways. Politically, it speaks a lot about, you know, old attitudes and left versus right. Lincoln Lawyer is one that has been a regular recommendation from us. That movie, I think, you mentioned it a couple of podcasts ago.
It's
coming to Netflix in May, which is terrific. And then
you couldn't do better than Lincoln Lawyer. It's just such a good, sturdy movie. Yes.
One that I'm sure the two of you would have recommended had it not been squeezed from your list, which is Uncut Gems, with the Safdie brothers. And then a movie that I'm kind of intrigued about is The Lovebird. So this movie was due for a theatrical release. It stars, my Alzheimer's is in full force today.
Adam Sandler.
It's not Adam Sandler. It's the guy who starred the Kamal, what's his name?
Nanjiani.
Thank you. I was desperately trying not to call him Aziz Ansari as politically incorrect as that would be. But this is a comedy movie that was heavily promoted towards the end of the year, and I think was due for a release during pandemic season. So the producers have sold that movie rights to Netflix, and they're going to be putting it out in May. So it's not one
the one with Issa Rae.
Correct. Yes. That's all coming to Netflix in May. So.
Yeah, and if I may just take a little time to talk about two absolute titans of Indian cinema who happened to pass away within 24 hours of each other last week. And the first one is definitely known to the more judicious international movie watchers around the world, and his name is Irfan Khan. And Irfan Khan was famously in The Life of Pi. He was in the series In Treatment. He was in The Namesake. He was in so many movies. And unlike most Indian cinema, which is all about larger than life and color and, you know, spectacle, Irfan Khan was always a very controlled, understated presence on cinema screens in India. And that's what separated him from the rest. And he was he died far too early at the age of 53. And I think he was genuinely one of the world's best actors. I mean, just any of his movies are a revelation. And I think if you've never watched an Irfan Khan movie and to see what the big fuss is about, we absolutely adore the movie Lunchbox, which came out a few years ago. That one is available on Amazon Prime for just a $2.99 rental. I will return your money if you don't like it. It's a sweet, sweet story, beautiful, with a beautiful, warm, genuine heart. So definitely that.
I think it may be one of my favorite all-time movies. Yes, yeah, I'd go as far as saying that. It's stunning.
Stunning movie, yeah.
It's a true love story, right? I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful story.
And it's a love story, not in the cheap version of the love story, but in terms of true love between two characters who understand each other, even though they may not physically be close to each other. But really, you owe yourself, if you haven't watched Lunchbox, to see. It's just $3. Brilliant. Even the way the movie ends, you know, which always startles me. I've seen the movie 3 times now. But still, when you think about it, it is the perfect ending. But anyway, so that's one movie. The other movie that you can watch is Pan Singh Tomar, which is an amazing movie which came out a couple of years ago. It is playing right now on Netflix for free streaming, so you can watch that. And then the other movie which you can also rent on Amazon Prime is the movie Puzzle, which came out last year.
Told us about this one, yeah.
Yeah, and it's had Kelly MacDonald and...
It's such a good movie.
And Irfan Khan. And it's just, it's almost like a Hollywood version of Lunchbox, I want to say, in some way. But again, it's about two characters who have nothing to do with each other who connect by virtue of just finding something common in their lives. And so worth treating out. Again, you will see the
stunning movie. I'm going to watch it again.
And it's Puzzle beautiful. Is about a housewife who is kind of, her son is grown, her husband doesn't need her. She's kind of at odds. She lives in a small town in America, and she realizes, much to her own surprise and everybody else's, that she's a master jigsaw puzzle solver. And so she starts, without her family's knowledge, starts kind of surreptitiously joining these tournaments to play the jigsaw puzzle. And so it's really sweet. And then the other actor who passed away within 24 hours of Irfan Khan's death is Rishi Kapoor. And Rishi Kapoor is probably not as well known to international audiences, but he was the son of the famous Raj Kapoor. He was part of Bollywood royalty, and he has been acting for close to 45 years. He also died far too early. He was boxed in playing the rosy-cheeked young teenage love interest in movie after movie. But the reason why I mourn his death even more than I would have otherwise is because in the last, I want to say 6-7 years, he had really broken out of the commercial cinema mold, and he was doing movie after movie where he was playing exceptionally good character actors, right? And he was so good at it. And I think one movie that I would recommend to everyone is the movie Kapoor and Sons. And Kapoor and Sons right now is streaming for free on Netflix.
Just watched it, Yazdi, and I will agree with you. It's a really good movie. I was trying to tell Joe how much Indian cinema, Bollywood, has progressed in the last 20 years. And it's a really good movie. It doesn't matter if you're Indian or not. These are really good movies.
So those would be my recommendations. But yeah, I mean, Kapoor and Sons and The Lunchbox. If you remember nothing else, watch those.
Yeah, and if you do like The Lunchbox, the maker of The Lunchbox made a beautiful movie that we've covered before called Photograph, which is also streaming for free on Prime.
Yes. And just to be clear, Photograph is not to be confused with The Photograph.
Correct.
Which is a movie which came out a couple months ago with Issa Rae and now it's my Alzheimer's and Stanfield. What's his name?
Lakeith Stanfield
and Issa Rae. So there was a movie called The Photograph, which is a cute movie in its own right, but nothing like just Photograph, which is absolutely brilliant.
All right.
So there we go. Lots of recommendations from our little movie watching to yours. If our viewers have been watching other stuff, please do let us know. We're always happy to review stuff that you want to watch, stuff that you want us to, and review it in a future podcast.
And let us know what you think of these.
Yes.
If you do watch any of them.
Yes.
Yeah. No, again, you know, we live in strange times indeed, but movie watching is something that we're able to do no matter what the circumstance. So we should be grateful for that. And we just covered Netflix and Amazon Prime, but there are many other streaming services. So we'll try and maybe do a little bit more coverage of others. Because again, there are so many sources of wonderful material.
And more Tribeca.
And
we'll do more Tribeca.
Yes. So, yes. Yeah, we covered Tribeca in our last podcast. And, you know, the South By we mentioned a couple of podcasts ago. So, again, grab those while you can. You know, those are really great services to us as movie fans. And, you know, there's no reason to go without during quarantine. All right. Well, let's wrap up this episode. So again, thank you. We appreciate the feedback. And so thanks to those that have reached out to us and told us they've enjoyed these, quarantine picks. We appreciate the feedback and, we enjoy doing it too. So until next podcast, too many movies, too little time. And goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.